This is First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
Okay, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. This program brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We bring on Travis L. Brown from the Eagle, the Bryan College Station Eagle, excuse me, as we're going to talk some college hoops now. Texas A&M and Tennessee, big game tonight in the SEC. Travis, thanks for your time. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we get into this season and tonight's game, I just want to get a feel for what the vibe was like around the program and Buzz Williams coming into this year. Because I feel like with college programs, when you get to year three, year four, that's when, you know, you want to expect results, and maybe even a lot sooner with the money that goes around in some of these programs and the transfer portal and things like that. No tournament the first 2 years, probably should have made it last year, still made a deep run in the NIT. So I imagine there was an expectation this year that there would be big things in College Station for the Hoops team, right?
Yeah, I mean, what a heck of a time for Buzz Williams to take this job at A&M, because you mentioned no NCAA tournament the first year. There was no NCAA tournament right in the first year because of the pandemic, and then they come back, and it's a lackluster year the second year because of, I mean, they missed half the season because of COVID protocols and the above. Last year, Buzz Williams, they overcome an 8-game losing streak to win a lot of games there at the end of the season to go to the NIT finals. Probably should have been an NCAA tournament team. There's a lot of argument that could be made with that team from last year. And then this year, it seems like finally they've gotten things kind of the ship righted and going in the right direction. The expectations, I think, after what happened last season was that Williams would take some of these guys returning, hit the transfer portal, and come back with a better team and get them into the NCAA tournament. It's been a while since A&M has been in the NCAA tournament. I believe it was 2018. And so they need, 2016-17, I believe was the season. So expectations were high. They needed to get to the tournament this year.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of how he's viewed now amongst the boosters and the people high up in the program, I imagine, you know, everybody's mostly happy with the way things have gone this year.
It's been a little bit of a roller coaster. They came out and had a pretty slow start to non-conference, losing to Murray State and Wofford, which are both quad four losses. After those games, I don't want to say that the fan base was necessarily that happy, but I think what they've been able to do since Christmas and since the turn of the calendar, everybody has rallied behind Buzz and the troops, and I think everyone is pretty excited about the way this thing is headed.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that there's definitely a lot of positive momentum here now as we move forward with the rest of this season. Last thing, just big picture on Buzz. It's always interesting to me, his career path, because you look at him and, you know, he's had success everywhere he's been, but also it's almost like there's this weird kind of expiration date on these jobs where I don't know if he just gets bored or what it is, but like all the success in the world at Marquette, then he decides he's going to go to Virginia Tech. You know, I don't know how great of a, you know, move that is job wise. Gets to the second weekend at Virginia Tech, and then he's going to go to Texas A&M. Now he's been at A&M for 4 years. Is there a sense amongst, you know, fans and boosters that something similar might happen here, and if he keeps having success in 2-3 years, he's coaching somewhere else?
That's an interesting thought. I think no one has necessarily really put their mind around something like that, just because really, if you want to look at the true measure of success in this program, it started basically, you know, December 27th of this year. And so I don't know if anybody has really gotten their head around that kind of thought process, but there is something to that. I do think that's what's different about this job than you say Marquette than Virginia Tech is that, you know, he's a Texas guy. His wife is from Texas.
Sure.
They have family down here. And so there could be a little bit of a lure to stay at a place like this, maybe longer than some of those other spots, because it is it's home. Buzz worked here for 2 years before going off into, as a head coach. I think there would be something to that. But Buzz has been pretty adamant about the fact that he's not going to be one of those coaches that coaches like into his 60s and 70s and just be a lifelonger, because he's mentioned several times he wants to go tour and see all the SEC football stadiums and see a game in there and do some stuff with his life. So I'm not going to say he's going to retire really early, but I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that you know is getting really late in life before he makes that move. So that is an interesting question to see if A&M can continue to have the same level of success that they've had at least through conference play this year.
Okay, so let's get more into this season, specifically where the Aggies are going and where they stand in the rest of the SEC. Second in the league standings, massive game tonight against Rick Barnes and company with the Tennessee Volunteers. Just how do you see the matchup tonight, A&M and Tennessee?
And it has every making of a rock fight, but like in the best way, because it's two of the best defenses in the country. Tennessee, by most metrics, is the best defense in the country. And so it's going to be hard necessarily to get clean shots. It's going to be a physical battle on the boards on both sides. And it's really going to be who can shoot at the best percentage or get offensive rebounds to get some of those second chance shots. I think the one thing that has defined this A&M squad a lot this season as far as offense goes is their ability to get to the free throw line. As of right now, at least according to Ken Pom, 25.5% of their points this season have come from the free throw line, which is they're the best team in the country at getting points at the free throw line. And so that's another way to mitigate playing against a really, really good defense is to get into the charge circle by dribble penetration or hitting some of their posts and getting fouled and getting some points that way. It's going to be a defensive chess match game, and I think that's going to intrigue a lot of people.
Alabama, A&M, or Tennessee, who's the best team in this league?
I mean, I think it's got to be Alabama. Sure. I think what they've proven through the most of the season and with what Brandon Miller and some of those freshmen have been able to do, I think it's got to be Alabama. As far as teams that are built to make an NCAA tournament run, they're young. And while Brandon Miller is probably going to be freshman of the year in the nation, sometimes freshmen mess up, have mistakes, have freshman errors. And it'll be interesting to see how scot-free they can play once the postseason comes with a team that's mostly made up of freshmen, when they're going to be playing a lot of teams because of transfer portal, COVID, all the above, that's going to have some more veteran presence on it. So I think A&M and Tennessee, for that matter, are better built postseason teams, because they focus on the things that are more consistent: playing good defense, getting to the free throw line, high percentage shots. I think those things really play well into postseason play. But I think as far as raw talent on paper, Alabama's the best team in the conference.
Yeah, no, I definitely would not argue with that at all. And you mentioned teams built for the tournament. I'm sure that's maybe what Aggie fans are clinging to. Everybody says you need guards to win in March. Well, you have Wade Taylor the fourth and Tyrese Radford, and Radford's a senior, so you certainly have some experience there. Taylor was in the program last year. Is there, you know, hope that behind those two guys, you know, we could see A&M make the second weekend?
Yeah, I think that would be, I think most A&M fans would be pretty elated about making the second weekend, especially with where this team was at the beginning of the season. And you know, the thing about this team, too, is, I mean, yeah, I think if you want to look at raw overall talent, Tyrese Radford is the best talent on the team. But if you want to go back, and of course I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but if you go back and look at high point scorers, high rebound guys, that whoever's been that guy has rotated pretty consistently through the season. So if a guy is having an off night, if a team decides they want to double team one of those guys, if Wade Taylor's not hitting from deep, seemingly a new guy can step up and kind of take over the role. A lot of times lately, that guy's been Dexter Dennis, a transfer from Wichita State, who was brought here a lot for his defense, his rebounding. But go back to that Missouri game, they're struggling through that first 10 minutes or so, and it was actually Dexter Dennis' ability to get to the rim on dribble penetration and hit a few threes that really kind of sparked the offense. and kind of righted that ship a little bit. I think if you ask anybody, the real kind of litmus test, well, Boots Radford and Wade Taylor are going to be some of the guys who probably will finish the game as the high point guys. I think a good litmus test on where A&M is in a game is kind of looking at where Dexter Dennis is and what he's been able to do.